saved others. Let him save himself. If he is really the Messiah, if he is really the Son of God, if he wanted to save others, now let him save himself. This cry, this derision, this taunting from the leaders of the Jewish people came at Jesus as he hung there on the cross, as he went to Golgotha, as he went to be executed. He was taunted by the Jewish leaders. If he truly is the Messiah now, let him save himself. The Roman soldiers were just like them. They said, if he really is the King of the Jews, let's see him save himself. Some king he is. Even one of the prisoners crucified next to him said, hey, Jesus, if you're really the Messiah, save us, and us, save all of us. Not just yourself. Save us, too. It is indeed understandable why they were so incredulous, why they were so angry, why they just could not believe that this could possibly be the Messiah. Messiahs don't die. I don't know how many times I have to explain this. Messiahs do not die. They're victorious. They take the armies of Jerusalem, the armies of Israel, the armies of David, and they go out into the field to do battle with the powers and forces of darkness, to do battle with the Roman Empire, to do battle and have victory over the occupation forces in this world. They go out to do battle, and they have victory, and they establish the kingdom of God here on earth, and they establish God's righteousness here on earth, and they establish David's kingdom from horizon to horizon. They are victorious in battle. They are victorious in government. They are victorious in righteousness. They are not executed on a cross. They are not put to death. They are not killed. They do not die. It is understandable, the perplexity of the Jewish people. It is understandable why they had so much trouble comprehending that this person on the cross, this rabbi from Nazareth, it is understandable why they had trouble believing that this Jesus could possibly be the Christ, that this Jesus could be their Savior. They had hailed him as their Savior. He had entered the city a week before, and they waved palm branches at him and shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, Savior, save us. As he entered the city, they waved branches at him, and they proclaimed him their coming Savior and King. It was with a throng and a mass like that that he could have taken and harnessed the power of the people, and they believed overthrown the Roman power. I imagine that was part of the reason why Judas was so disturbed by what Jesus was saying about how he had to die. I'm sure that was part of the reason why Peter said, far be it from you, Lord, that you would go to Jerusalem to die. No. Saviors don't lose. Saviors aren't executed. It was beyond the comprehension of the people of Jerusalem that this man whom they would greet with, Savior, save us, would just a few short days later be the same man about whom they would yell, crucify him. And yet he was. The very same man whom they greeted on that first Palm Sunday morning with palm branches and shouts of Hosanna, Savior, save us, would be the same man about whom they would shout just a few days later, crucify him. When given the choice between an insurgent rebel, Barabbas, and Jesus, they chose Barabbas and not their Savior. They chose the criminal and not the one about whom they had shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And yet, it is understandable to us, because they had problems accepting the idea of a dying Savior. They had problems understanding the idea of a suffering Messiah. It was beyond their comprehension. It was not what they were looking for. And so when they saw their Messiah, when they saw their Savior, when they saw the Son of God, they did not recognize Him as such, and they rejected Him. And even the disciples stood afar off and watched, or ran away and denied Him three times. Out of their wonder and out of their misunderstanding and lack of comprehension. This was not what they were expecting. This death, this execution, this horrible, painful event where their Lord and their Master, their Teacher, their hope was nailed to some wood and strung up like a flag for the whole city to see. Today we have executions in this state. We take a person and we strap them to a table. And we take some needles and we stick them. And we put a drug into them which puts them to sleep. And then we put another drug into them which stops their heart and their lungs. It's antiseptic. It's clean. It's neat. It's painless. It's nothing like this execution here. This crucifixion of Jesus, which was public and horrific and painful beyond imagination. Public because everybody could see it from the walls of Jerusalem. Horrific because it was the worst form of execution that the Romans could mete out for non-Roman citizens. And excruciatingly painful because when you are nailed up or strapped up to a cross, you literally slowly suffocate to death. And as you bleed, you slowly lose conscience and lose the ability to do anything about your pain, but you don't lose the awareness of your pain. And hence you slowly feel yourself suffocate and die. Why was his death so public? Why was his death so horrific? Why was his death so painful? Why did he have to die if messiahs don't die? Simple fact is, the people of Israel misunderstood the nature of their oppression. They misunderstood the nature of that which was facing them. They misunderstood the nature of the evil one who was holding them down. It wasn't just the Roman Empire and its political and military might. It wasn't just the powers of the world that was holding them down. No. God wanted to deliver them more than from the taskmasters of this world. God wanted to deliver them from the taskmaster of sin, of evil and death that lives within. Jesus came not just to deliver the people of Israel and the entire world from the Roman Empire. No, Jesus came to deliver the entire world, past, present, and future, from itself, from the powers of sin and death that live within each of us. The people of Israel misunderstood their expectation for a Messiah. And so when their Messiah came on the scene and did not become the person they expected him to be, they missed it totally. The inner circle of disciples even missed it. And when they were confronted with the risen Lord a few days later, at first, they didn't believe it. They told Mary Magdalene she was bonkers. Thomas said he wouldn't believe it till he stuck his fingers in the hole. And they even walked away from the grave disbelieving. It took being confronted with the real, living, abiding presence of Jesus in their lives and in their midst, teaching them, breaking bread with them, praying with them again, to convince them that this man who died was their Messiah, was their Savior, was the one for whom they had been waiting. And then it took years to then understand why it was so different than their expectation. And indeed, we're still working on it today. God comes for us, my friends, to teach us about the importance of taking our place with Christ and those criminals on the cross. In the passage of Luke here, these criminals are here for a very good, a serious, important reason. One of them derides Jesus, taunts him, tells him, hey, if you're the Messiah, get us all down and out of our trouble. And frankly, that's what most of us want. Jesus, get me out of the net I have set for myself. Get me out of this trap I have laid for myself. Get me out of this, God. We so frequently are the first criminal, begging Jesus to make it easy. Blessed are those who can recognize the calling that we are supposed to be the second criminal, recognizing our sin, recognizing that we are guilty, recognizing that we belong on that cross, not Jesus. We belong on that cross, not our Savior. And then saying to him, remember us, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If we in this season of Lent, if we in this holy week that is to come, if we can take just a moment to recognize that we are called to be the other criminal on the cross next to Jesus saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If we can take a time this week, in this final week of preparation, to reach a point in our lives when we can say to Jesus, not get me out of this mess, God, but remember me when you come into your kingdom, then we too may hear on Easter Sunday morning the words of our Savior who said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This message, the message of Holy Week and Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, the message of Easter Sunday morning, the message of the death and resurrection of our Lord, is the core, the focal point, the central point of the gospel message. And we are in the middle of it. And we are one or the other of those two criminals. Which are you? The people of Israel didn't understand that Jesus had to die. Do we? And do we understand why? The second criminal understood. Let we say the same thing to Jesus. Let us say the same thing to Jesus that he did. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.